the elements which go to make up the human, animal, and floral envelopes or bodies for the life spirit contained in each of them are held in solution in the atmosphere, and can, through a knowledge of the laws governing it, be used to construct instantaneously any of the multitudinous forms that exist in nature, and it would be as easy for us to produce a materialization of an elephant in your midst, as a human being, provided that the conditions were favorable. It was the knowledge of these laws which made many so-called miracles possible in the past, such as those recorded in your sacred writings, Bible, and make many so-called miracles possible today. This knowledge is possessed by those in our sphere who are adepts in chemistry, and who act as leaders during all experiments for the spiritualization of matter, not, as you term it, the materialization of spirits, for it is far other than this. The sensitive is but another source from whom the elements for the materialized bodies can be drawn, for the atmosphere is not always chemically favorable. At times, owing to unsuitable conditions, it is absolutely impossible to get together, even from both these sources, the atmosphere and the sensitive, sufficient material with which to build up a body, and then, if forms still appear in your midst, the manifestation ceases to be a materialization and becomes a transfiguration. By this we mean that the sensitive is transfigured, as a sculptor might modify an old statue with his chisel instead of forming a new figure from fresh materials. In transfigurations the face of the sensitive is completely changed by the controlling entity, so as to represent his, the entity's, face temporarily. The unconscious sensitive is then brought from his chair and walks amongst the sitters, stopping before each of them, and showing his altered, transfigured features to them, as you know, by means of large pieces of cardboard, termed the slates, which have previously been coated with luminous paint. As transfigurations when substituted for materializations usually occur in perfect darkness only. There are, however, one or two sensitives in the British Isles who can and do frequently produce them in daylight, notably Mrs. Granger, of Exeter. In transfigurations then the sensitive's face, changed in form and feature as if it had been melted and run into a new mold, is used to personate something quite as honest as the materialization for which it is so often mistaken, and all who attend your experimental meetings should be fully instructed beforehand as to the difference between these phenomena, and why it is that the leaders of the experiments in our sphere are sometimes compelled to produce transfigurations instead of the materializations which you expect to see. 11 Fully realizing the danger of this, it was agreed by the leaders and by the officials of my societies that in no case should transfigurations be produced, but that when the conditions made materializations impossible, the experiment should at once come to an end, and three important meetings were actually closed within half an hour of the start of each, without results of any kind being obtained, as the leaders admitted that the atmospheric and other conditions made it altogether impossible for them to produce materializations. G.B. Spiritualization of matter is governed by certain natural laws, and, like all such laws, they are immutable, that is absolutely unchangeable. The work of the true investigator should be to discover the operation of these laws, and to regulate his investigations accordingly. When you speak of anything whatever as a miracle, you imply that you actually know all natural laws, and when something occurs which you cannot by any possibility explain, instead of endeavoring to discover under what, to you, new natural law the apparently impossible has become possible, you foolishly say, this is something quite beyond all natural laws, and is therefore a miracle. Spirit, soul, and body. Q. By G. B. In the 15th chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians in the Christian Bible, we read of a spiritual body. Can you explain this to us? A. Man, woman, know thyself. Man is a spirit now and throughout the ages, and has a soul, or spiritual body, now and for a portion of his life beyond the grave, and was a material, physical, or earth body during his life on earth, which he leaves behind him there forever, at the change which you term death. In the letter to which you refer, the writer is dealing with this. The greatest of all the trinities in your sphere, psyche, pneuma, soma, spirit, soul, and body, the three in one which form life in the earth sphere, for, wherever there is life, There also is spirit. Where there is spirit, there also is soul, or spiritual body, so long as the earth life lasts, and for a certain period in the spheres as well. Where there is spirit on the earth sphere, there also is a material body, which is left behind forever at the death of that body. You will remember that in the 35th verse in that chapter the writer refers to the question so often asked, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? He replies, thou foolish one, the seed which thou sowest, in the ground, is not quickened, endued with life, except it, first, die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may happen to be wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. The insignificant looking grain of wheat is put into the ground, leaves its body there forever, but the spirit, the life, contained within that little seed, rises from the ground a tall and graceful stalk, bearing well-filled ears of corn. So also, he continues, is the resurrection of the dead. The earth or natural body is sown in corruption, the spiritual body, soul, is raised in incorruption. The natural body is sown in dishonor, the spiritual body, soul, is raised in glory. The natural body is sown in weakness, the spiritual body, soul, is raised in power. Mark this carefully, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And yet, in the face of such teaching as this, Christianity dares to proclaim the resurrection of the earth or physical body by another entity. You and we are now and always immortal spirits, and you are visiting the earth as a part of your spiritual evolution for a period of training and discipline. And you are spirits clothed, during this period, with an earth or physical body and a spiritual body, soul, and each one of you is therefore a complete trinity in unity, as has been said, in him or herself, formed as you are at this moment of spirit, spiritual body, and earth or physical body. And, just as at the change which you term birth, at the commencement of your earth life, the spirit became clothed upon with its spiritual body and developed its earth body, so, at the change which you term death, at the termination of your earth life, the spirit, still clad in its spiritual body, will pass out of your earth body, which it then leaves forever, and passing upwards during the ages from one sphere to another, it will gradually part with more and more of its spiritual body at each step upwards, until at length, and as pure spirit only, it will return to God, who is spirit. In proportion as the spirit progresses in the spheres, the essence of its spiritual body, which consists of the finer nervous fluids, becomes more and more etherealized, whence it follows that the influence of matter diminishes in exact proportion to the advancement of the spirit, that is, the spiritual body becomes less and less gross, and consequently more and more spiritual, as the spirit within it progresses by another entity. The real you, altogether invisible to normal human sight, rests at this moment within two separate and quite distinct envelopes or bodies, the one visible to normal sight, the material or earth body, controlled by its brain, the other invisible to normal sight, although plainly visible to clairvoyant sight, the spiritual body, controlled by its spiritual replica of the brain, the mind. As was well said in one of your psychic journals recently, although I shall venture to make a few slight additions, the spiritual body consists of finer ether, and as a mind, consciousness, as distinct a thing from the brain as this spiritual body is from the earth body, but they are inhabitants of another sphere. And you can slip this finer body, with its mind, out of your physical body, and after death it is just the same in appearance as during life. This spiritual body started its career at the moment you started being made by your microscopic father, spermatozoon, and mother, ovum. It is their offspring, as essentially as you are. It did not exist before you, it has no chance to be self-existent or immortal, like your spirit. It had a natural beginning, as you had, and therefore from a normal point of view must have an end, and eventually does. But its dissolution does not occur at the time of the death of your earth body, for it survives this, and gradually becomes less and less as you, as spirit, progress upwards through the spheres. Many mortals seem to think that at birth you came to earth straight from your deity, or, as you Christians say, from heaven to earth, and that at death you will return straight to your deity, or, as you Christians say, to heaven or hell, according to the lives you have lived whilst on earth. Now heaven and hell, I would remind you, are not places above, below, or around you, but are states or conditions in your earth life, and also in your life and ours in the spheres, and you and we make our own heaven or our own hell, according to the lives you and we lead in our respective spheres. You will find that the human spirit, far from coming straight to earth from heaven, has lived on many planets or worlds before it reached this one, just as it will live in many spheres after its period of training on earth is ended. Myriads of worlds swarm in space, and in a certain number of these worlds each spirit in rude mental conditions performs a portion of its pilgrimage ere it reaches this little planet called earth, and it is the function of this world to confer upon the spirit the consciousness of itself, and knowledge of good and evil. Only whilst on earth is the spirit man or woman. Prior to this, in every other stage of its vast journey, it has been but an embryonic being, a fleeting temporary form of matter, gaining here a little and there a little, a creature in which is a portion of the high imprisoned spirit seed which shines forth in a rudimental shape with rudimental functions, as a butterfly springing up from the chrysalis, ever going onward into new life, new death, living and dying, stretching and reaching upward, striving onward along the pathways of life in the planets. At last comes the day when it awakens to find itself a thing encased in a material body for the first time, to find itself a creature of flesh and blood for a short period termed the earth life, a man or a woman. After this birth of the spirit, encased in its soul or spiritual body in a material or earth body, it acquires the knowledge of its own individuality, its passions, its loves, and a knowledge of good and evil. It gains self-consciousness, and in doing these things, is closing forever its career of material pilgrimage and transformation. With the death of the earth body, the spirit, still clad in its spiritual body, at once gravitates to a fresh series of pilgrimages and existences in our spheres, the realms of spirit, and here begin the further purification and growth of the spirit, now filled, by its experience gained during the earth life, with either the sublime attributes of love and wisdom gained by self-knowledge, or with the lower attributes of the animal by which it permitted itself to be conquered or overcome during its earth life. Hence the vital importance of the warning which we so often give to you men and women of earth to loosen the ties, 1, especially the animal ties, which would tend to hold you to earth after you have passed out of your physical bodies for the last time. Q. By another sitter, A. D., you say, when you leave your earth body for the last time. Do we then, ever leave our bodies during our lives on earth? A. By a medical entity, yes, constantly, for practically every night of your life, you, the real you, the spirit A. D., and all normal men and women, pass a portion of each night just outside your earth bodies after you, the spirit A. D., have had sufficient rest, say, from about 2.5 to 3.5 hours, according to the amount of work, and the kind of work, mental or physical, which the earth body and its brain has performed during the day. For this reason, a human being of any age should never be awakened suddenly from their sleep, for the shock to both spirit and body is a very severe one indeed, the most dangerous hours, in my opinion, being those from midnight to about 4 o'clock in the morning. The enlightened ones amongst you, those who have made real progress in spiritual matters, are often able to remember what they have both seen and heard whilst as spirits, and fully conscious themselves, they stood beside their unconscious earth bodies lying on the bed before them, wrapped in healthy slumber. There is little or no fear of persons like these coming to any harm, such as being murdered or burnt to death during their sleep. For the spirit, standing outside their body, acts as a sentry, and passing gently but swiftly back into the body at the first sign of danger, rouses it from its state of insensibility into one of immediate action. On the other hand, the men and women who fill their bodies with indigestible food, or saturate themselves with alcohol just before retiring to their beds, make it almost impossible for the spirit to detach itself from their body during the heavy stupor which, in their case, takes the place of natural sleep, and these are the persons who are injured or killed during the night, for the simple reason that the poor crushed spirit within their gorged bodies has been rendered useless as a sentry to guard them during their slumbers. It seems to me that most of you men and women of the white races on earth spend your time, instead of trying to develop your spiritual nature, your real mission whilst on earth, in trying to dig your graves with your teeth, for diet plays a far more important part in your earth life than you have any idea of at present. It is truly marvelous to those of us in the spheres who are interested in what you term scientific subjects, how ignorant you men and women are concerning your bodies. Man, woman, know thyself is a saying which all should take seriously to heart. In a few moments now I shall return to my own sphere, and were I then to meet a scientist who knew nothing concerning the people of Earth, and to tell him that I had just left men and women who deemed themselves well educated, and yet had little or no knowledge of the organs contained within their bodies, such as the spleen, for instance, he would stare at me in blank amazement, and were I to tell him further that the surgeons and physicians of Earth had little or no knowledge concerning such vitally important organs as the solar plexus and the pineal gland, the difference between brain and mind, absolutely nothing whatever concerning human polarity, and were firmly convinced that all normal persons breathe through both nostrils simultaneously, he would regard the condition of such scientists as one bordering on lunacy. Q. By Dr. A. C. I admit that we know but little concerning the solar plexus and the pineal gland, and nothing whatever about human polarity. Whilst your suggestion as to normal human breathing is an entirely new one to me, can you throw any light upon these matters? A. Your polarity changes each 2 hours, or thereabouts, from positive to negative or vice versa, and your breathing changes with it. From the moment of birth to the moment of death, every normal human being breathes through only one nostril at a time, and that for a period of 2 hours, or thereabouts, when the breathing changes over to the other nostril for a period of 2 hours, or thereabouts, the only time that it passes through both nostrils simultaneously being the moment when the polarity and the breathing are changing. The nostril through which a person is breathing at any given moment showing that it is the positive side of that person at the time. Try this little experiment for yourself, by breathing onto the hand, and try it again in 2 hours' time, and, provided that you have no obstruction in the nostrils, you will at once be compelled to admit the truth of what I have told you. Although you do not realize the fact as yet, mighty waves of magnetism pass continuously between the north and south poles of your Earth, and strong astral currents run round your Earth in the plane of the equator, the northern current running from east to west, the southern from west to east. From these astral currents others descend to either pole, which produces the polarity of the magnetic needle, as well as its dip. If you are wise you will arrange your sleeping apartments so that when you lie in bed your body shall lie directly in the line of the mighty waves of magnetism always, that is of course, with your face and the foot of your bed to the north, or, if that is impossible, then to the south, but never to the east or west. Watch the restlessness of your children at night, when you have deliberately placed their little bodies in direct opposition to these mighty waves of magnetism by trying to force them to sleep with their faces to the east or west. See how again and again during their sleep they will endeavor to turn their little bodies round, for the spirit within each one of them fully realizes your folly, so that they may lie north and south, so as to face the waves of magnetism, instead of east and west, as you have placed them, and in direct opposition to those waves. Try the experiment in your hospitals, in your nursing homes, and in your sick rooms, and see what happy results will follow, for if, as we in our sphere know well, mortals in the enjoyment of full health are seriously affected by constantly sleeping in direct opposition to these mighty waves, think what the results must be upon children or invalids, and many instances of curvature of the spine in children may be traced to this cause. Through your ignorance of these facts, we often smile as we hear the UN enlightened ones amongst you saying, "Isn't it wonderful?" I can nearly always wake up at any hour I wish if the matter is an important one, and if I set my mind on it beforehand, wake almost to the very minute. It seems quite a miracle to me. Instead of being a miracle, however, it was merely the working of a natural law of which the speaker clearly had no knowledge. All that happened was that, before going to sleep, the physical brain impressed upon the spiritual mind of his or her spirit the fact that it was important that they should wake up at a certain hour. When that hour arrived, the spirit standing outside the body wrapped in healthy slumber became aware of the fact through its mind, and gently passed back into the body. The mind at once acted upon the brain, and the sleeper awoke, considerably surprised, and wondering as usual how such a miracle could have happened to them again, never dreaming that it was the result merely of a natural law, working quite normally. Once again I repeat, man, woman, know thyself. The change termed death, you assuming that you entities have once had an earth existence, you must have died, as we say. Can you tell us anything concerning your experiences in connection with this change? A. As one who has passed through it, I could tell you much concerning that change, both as regards 1. The actual leaving the body, and then as regards 2. The state of the spirit immediately after it has freed itself from the body. But I prefer to let a scientist on earth describe 1. A deathbed scene, as witnessed by him, the result of an investigation into the subject, which he carried out on strictly scientific lines at our suggestion, and I prefer to do this in the hope of inducing some of you enlightened ones to try the experiment for yourselves, as it will indeed prove to be a revelation to you. I will then add a few remarks of my own concerning, too, the state of the freed spirit on its awakening in the new life in the spheres. Now, if you have not developed your powers of clairvoyance, you must take steps to do this, or else must induce it by artificial means, as the scientists, whose report I shall now give to you, did so successfully. Begin to experiment also with a special photographic apparatus, and so obtain a witness whose testimony would prove invaluable in an investigation of this kind. And what is it that you will see with your artificially induced clairvoyance? What is it that the specially prepared photographic lens should record? One of the two scientists shall tell you in his own words. Remembering your oft-repeated assertion that one could see the spirit take flight at the moment of dissolution, I was not contented in my past blind ignorance, where I so often professed to know so much. The time finally arrived when I had proper conditions of light, etc., where a man of more than ordinary spirituality was being called over to the great majority. I watched the hours go by, till the moment came when he was about to cease breathing, and a sudden tremor passing through his body announced that his hour had come. "Now is our time," I whispered to the friend who was assisting me. We passed our heads under the black cloth, a thin violet column of vapor, gathered into a soft cloud, apparently formed over and about the body. Particle seemed to seek particle, as if by some molecular attraction, until the outline of an object was clearly distinguishable. As it grew stronger, it seemed the vapory form of a man, rapidly assuming a more perfect shape, now pure and colorless as the most perfect crystal, having changed from the violet tinge. There was at this moment an awful stillness. An indescribable feeling came over both of us, our hearts seemed to stand still. Words are perfectly inadequate to express or describe our feelings. We bent our eyes intently upon the glass, until particle after particle came into the shapely form of the man we had known so well. It lay floating about a foot above the body, apparently moored by a slender cord to the breast of the corpse. The face was the face of the man, but far more peaceful and beautiful in expression. The eyes were closed, and the new form apparently seemed asleep. Through some impulse, both my friend and myself wished, as it were simultaneously, that he might awake. When the cord that held the form to the body parted, a gentle tremor passed through the beautiful form, every limb of which was a perfect mold semicolon one a violet flame was radiating over the heart, a kind look on the gentle face. He had lived his life unselfishly, as we knew, and was an unexceptionable man when he was with us. As his beautiful inner life united with the outer one, the perfect mold became a perfect man. It then arose in a standing position, cast one sorrowful look at the earth body that lay so still, extending a hand towards it too, as if to say, "Farewell, thou narrow house. I need thee no more," gathered its forces into a little sphere, and passed out into the sunlight of the everlasting morrow. One, the spiritual body, soul, enveloping the spirit of the man, as both left the earth body simultaneously to the spiritual counterpart of the brain, the mind, began to work here. We are assured and know that our friend lives, that he is immortal, a living presence forever, and we conclude our report of our discovery by saying that we are both changed men. To us this life and this world appear entirely different since our experience. I sincerely trust that the results obtained by these two scientists on your Earth planet may be the means of inducing some of you to try the experiment for yourselves, and I am in hopes that, ere long now, photographs of the passing of the spirit clad in its spiritual body from the Earth body, at the change which you term death, may become so common amongst you, that even the very poorest may in this way be able to obtain so convincing a proof of the fact that death is but the gateway to eternal life. And now let me add a few words of my own on this interesting subject. I endorse what has been so well said by these two scientists, for observations made by us prove that the spirit, encased in its spiritual body, disengages itself but slowly from the earth body, the final severance of the cord which holds them to that body not taking place until long after the person has been certified as dead by his medical attendant. During the first few moments which follows complete severance of the two bodies, the spirit of an unenlightened one does not as a rule clearly understand the situation. He does not believe himself to be dead, for he feels himself to be thoroughly alive. He sees his body before him, knows that it is his, yet does not understand that he is separated from it finally, and according to the spiritual growth of the detached spirit, either this state of indecision, or else a state of numb unconsciousness continues so long as there remains the slightest connection between the now empty shell, the earth body, and the spirit clad in its spiritual body. At times, when there has been a violent and strong desire in the individual not to die, the spirit clad in its spiritual body returns and settles over and about the upper part of the corpse, after its burial, and there it will often remain for days, weeks, months, and even years, and until the earth body has entirely returned to dust. This is the explanation of those apparitions termed churchyard ghosts, so frequently to be seen in your burial grounds, the body-bound spirit, clad in its spiritual body, being quite unable for various reasons to separate itself from its decaying earth body. It was on this account that the ancient Greek and the other highly cultivated and progressed nations of the past esteemed it a privilege beyond all others to be cremated after death, and we endorse that reasonable desire on their part. We would urge upon you to burn all bodies, more especially those of murderers and suicides, and thus assist to release the body-bound spirit from the anguish, nay more, the horror, of witnessing its earth body slowly decaying in the grave. This unquenched thirst for life in the earth body is a great power amongst the unenlightened ones after their death, and is a creative force so potent that it frequently draws the spirit back into contact with its earth life, when it should have passed on to loftier spheres. Strive therefore to increase your spiritual knowledge, and to test the beauties of the spirit world during your earth life, so that when your time of passing comes, a creative force and power may receive you, which, drawing you away from your envelope or earth body, may at once waft you onward, upward, to the spheres of progress. Herein lies one of the greatest mistakes of modern times in connection with this subject of death. When the hour has come to an individual, and the spirit is about to depart from its earth body, through blindness and cruel ignorance, relatives and friends gather round the bedside, and by their tears and prayers endeavor to call back the departing spirit to earth, just when it is fluttering like a caged bird to obtain its freedom. By and through this ignorance of nature's law, the spirit of many a loved one has been made to hover about his grave for months, awaiting release by the slow disintegration of the particles which formed his earth body. I repeat therefore, at the moment of death do not by your tears and prayers try to induce the spirit not to leave his earth body, and thus cause him to become bound to earth, and, after death, burn all bodies, 1 and so assist the spirit to obtain its freedom. 15 days later. Animals Q. By G. B. As one result of my investigations of the phenomena which you entities offer to us for that purpose, I have gradually lost all belief in such terms as miraculous, supernatural, and words of that description, but I confess that the appearance of beasts and birds during our experiments has come as a tremendous surprise to me. How is it that this is possible? A.